with me and to worship the Lord in this place. Let's sing it out, joy.
And joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the earth.
And joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
No more let sin.
No more let sins and sorrows grow. No thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Let's sing it out one more time. Joy to the world.
And joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing.
night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul
come and celebrate your birth today. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us so much, to be willing to come in the form of flesh. We celebrate you today, the birth of our Savior. Father, we humble our hearts before you today and just simply say, have your way in our hearts and in our lives. And may we not just treat it as a holiday where we just say Merry Christmas, but Lord, may we understand and experience what it means to celebrate you every day, every moment in our life. We thank you and we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. It is truly a joy to be able to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat this evening. Can you believe it's here? I can't believe it. Every year I get, the older I get, the faster it goes. Can anyone, you recognize that? Now, if you're here and you're kids, I know it feels like Christmas takes forever. And then you have to come to church, right? And listen to a pastor talk, and you're like, is this guy ever going to stop talking? Because I just want to go home and celebrate Christmas. Well, I'm going to try not to talk your ear off too much, but I do want to make sure that we take time and just give honor to the Lord. Make sure we take some time and just understand what it is that we're celebrating. We know it's the birth of Jesus, but there's a lot that goes on. We get so busy, and we're shopping and getting presents and getting our gifts. By the way, everyone have your Christmas shopping done? Men? 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 Okay, just checking. If not, there's maybe a few grocery stores that are still open. I don't know. But it reminded me of a story of a judge right before Christmas. A magistrate judge was in a good mood, and he asked this prisoner who was on the dock, he said, what are you charged with? And the prisoner replied, doing my Christmas shopping too early. He said, well, that's no crime. He said, just how early were you doing your shopping? He said, before the store opened. That's a problem. So, well, let me just have a little fun with you here for a moment. Let me do a little kind of Christmas quiz with you and see how you do. I'll start off easy, and then we'll move to some others. But let's start with this one. Are you ready? Can you handle this? You're in the Christmas mood? Santa Claus was known by his saint name, which was old what, you know? Saint Nick. You guys got it. Very good. Where does Santa live? North Pole. You guys got it. You're doing good. One of them's like, move along. Come on. Presents are open. All right, let me see how you are at your movies. You ready? Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. What movie? There you go. It's A Wonderful Life. All right, here's one. You shoot your eye out, kid. You guys watch a lot of TV, don't you? Yeah. Since it's the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed. Miracle on 34th Street. Very good. Bless this highly nutritious microwavable macaroni and cheese dinner and the people who sold it to me on sale. You know that one? Home Alone. There you go. You guys are doing good. We always like to sing songs. We sing some songs, and one of them says, he's making a list and he's checking it what? Twice. You good. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth so I can... You guys were answering before I ever put it out, you know. Let me ask the question, all right? For when they placed it on his head, he began to... You guys are good. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every... Close. With every Christmas card I write. Stumped you a little bit. Just a little bit. All right, here's a bonus one. How many reindeer did Santa pull his sleigh, including Rudolph? How many say eight? How many say nine? Yeah, you got it. Nine. It's nine. All right. Yeah, count them off. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Rudolph. I wrote them all down because I knew I wouldn't remember them. And I knew somebody was going to ask me, prove it. So it's always good to come and have fun, to celebrate Christmas. And but let's not lose sight of what it is we're really celebrating. Presents are great. Trees are great. Having no snow is great, personally. maybe you're dreaming of a white Christmas, and maybe it still will happen. Who knows? But let's not lose sight of what Christmas is all about. Many songs we sing, they bring out the Yuletide spirit. They warm our hearts. They serve as reminders that we have this season, that we celebrate Jesus. I mean, we sing songs like Hark the Herald, Angels Sing, right? Silent Night, Holy Night. Come and Behold Him, Born the King of Angels, we sing. Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Oh, Holy Night, we just sang, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. We're always singing about Jesus. What child is this who's laid to rest on Mary's lap sleeping? We sing Noel, that he's born the King of Israel. Yet it always surprises me how many people sing the songs but miss the message. They miss the message. The question I want to ask you this evening is simply this. Are you satisfied with Christmas? I want you to think about that for a minute. Are you truly satisfied with Christmas? Well, it really depends on how you define Christmas. Is Christmas defined by what you get? Is it defined by what you give or get? You know, or is it defined by celebrating the birth of our Savior? And many would be quick to say, yes, I'm satisfied with Christmas, but Christmas is much more than garland. It's much more than trees. It's much more than presents. It's about understanding that Jesus was born for you and for me, with the purpose of his life being the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be saved. So the question I ask again is are you satisfied? Maybe you've gotten a gift before and you thought it was one thing until you opened it and you realized it wasn't the gift that you really wanted. You tried to be as grateful as possible, but you just weren't satisfied. Satisfaction has less to do with how much you have, by the way. It has less to do with how much you own, and it has less to do with how good you look. The question remains, are you satisfied with Christmas? So I'm just going to give you four things real quick. And as you walked in the door, you would have received a candle. Parents were trusting you to monitor if you want your kids holding fire or not, okay? Just saying. But I want you to just hold on to those, because when we get through these four challenges or questions I have for you tonight, we're going to end. The ushers will come, and I'll let you know, ushers, when. But we're going to do the candle lighting service. And we got to be reminded, the reason we're doing this isn't because it's just a traditional thing. This is what we do. It's all about the candle. No, it's all about Jesus. It's about reminding ourselves that he's the brightest light in the darkest moments of your life. So I want you to be thinking about this. We're going to light this candle in a minute. It's going to be representative of an area where you need to see Jesus shine. You need to see him shine in such a special way. And then together, we're going to blow the candles out, but that doesn't mean that's the end. It's just the beginning. You're going to take that light, and you're going to let that shine in your heart and in your life. So four questions I want to ask you that will help you answer the question, am I truly satisfied this Christmas season? Number one, I would ask this, who are you seeking? Who are you seeking? This is an important question because if you're not seeking the right person, you can end up in a place that you don't really want to be. Let me read to you what it says in the Christmas story from Matthew. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? The first question to ask is, who is it that I'm seeking? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, right? Seek him first. The Magi saw the star that indicated the birth of the new king of Israel, and they promptly went to find this king, the king of the Jews, and they were willing to go on a journey. They were willing to allow it to cost them personally, and they would take the time because there was nothing less that would satisfy them than seeking first Jesus, their Savior. There are going to be a lot of distractions out there in this world. Have you noticed that already? A lot of distractions. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to try to pull you away from the truth and the reality of Jesus in your life. And it'll try to distract you. It'll try to get you to focus on anything but King Jesus. And the enemy doesn't want you to take that seriously. Because if you believe the birth of Jesus is the key to your salvation, then nothing, absolutely nothing, can hold you back. So, he does what he can to distract you. The enemy does what he can to detour you. He does what he can to depress you. After all, that's his job description, to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's only half the story we read about in John. In chapter 10, verse 10, it says, but God came to life to give you and I life and to give it more abundantly. And that's the reality. He says, you may be in a world that has it's distressing, but he says, but I've come to give you light and life and hope. So I'm asking you today, who is it that you're seeking? Number two is this, my second question. What is it you desire? If you want to know if you're truly satisfied in life, let me just ask you, what is it that you desire most of all in life? Our joy, our satisfaction, if you will, is going to be directly related to what it is that we seek. So, what is it that you truly desire this Christmas? Is it snow? Is it family together? Is it the holiday spirit or just the feeling of that? Is it finding the right present? Is it receiving the right present? There's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves, but at the end of all of those, they cannot bring a lasting joy. They can disappoint, but Jesus never does. He never disappoints. The Magi show us how to increase the level of our satisfaction in life at Christmas time by looking for the right thing. What was it they were looking for? Well, it says in verse 2 that they saw a star in the east and they came to worship him, is what the Bible says. They were looking for Jesus and they were looking for him in order to worship him because that's what they desired more than anything else. So, what is it that you desire? Today, the greatest gift you could give as well as receive is to worship him. It's to pay attention and intentionally worship the Lord. You know, sometimes we get so busy in life, we just kind of go through the motions. Sometimes we don't take time to listen to people. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of our presidents, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House, and he'd have to stand and greet everybody. He complained one day and said, "Nobody pays attention to me. No matter what I say, nobody listens." So one day, he decided during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. Each person that passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured to them, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guest responded as he said it, "I murdered my grandma this morning." And they would say, "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." And it wasn't until at the end of the line while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia that his words were actually heard. And when he murmured the words, I murdered my grandmother this morning," the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." What we need to be looking for this Christmas is an experience of worship. And the question is are we really listening to what God is speaking? Because it's only then that we experience our truest desires being fulfilled. If our goal is to worship Jesus, then I doubt very seriously that we will be dissatisfied with our experiences in life. Let me ask you the third question. Am I satisfied in life? Here's another question, the third one to ask. Where are you looking? Where are you looking for this satisfaction? You see, our level of satisfaction is or can be determined by where we look. For example, if you look for me and we were out shopping, you're probably not going to find me at IKEA, okay? Because that's not my thing, you know? Where are you looking? We learn from the Magi that there's wrong places to look for Christmas, for satisfaction, if you will. Because it said in verse 1 that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but then it also said that the Magi arrived in Jerusalem. They looked where their own human reasoning said that they should look. The star indicated the birth of a new king in Israel, right? It indicated his birth. The Magi went to where a king should be born. In their mind, they said a king should be born in the palace. The king should be born, you know, at the center, the epicenter of all that's going on. And so imagine the surprise when the Magi showed up and King Herod heard that there was one born to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a mistake that was. When Herod heard of the birth of the new king, he jealously sought out to destroy baby Jesus. You know, you and I too at times can be tempted to look for satisfaction in life in many of the wrong places. We think that by getting the right stuff, we'll be satisfied. We think that if we get the right car, if I can just get this house, or if I can just have that relationship, then I will have arrived. But those things can disappoint. The Magi looked in the right place when they looked for God. The trip to Jerusalem was not a total loss. While they discovered where they should be, the first place they looked was right directly back to the word of God, to what the prophets had spoken. You see, the scribes in Jerusalem had said, according to the prophet Micah, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. They at first looked in the wrong place, but then they brought it back to the word of God. I ask you again today, are you satisfied? Well, where are you looking? Are you looking in the world for that satisfaction, or do you bring it back to the word of God? Do you bring it back into the presence of Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you have to say about this? Here's my last question I'll ask you if, you know, we're kind of entertaining the thought, am I satisfied this holiday season? Then I want you to ask yourself this question. What will you give? What will you give this holiday season? Your level of satisfaction will be directly related to what you give. The Magi came to Jesus, and they came bearing gifts. They brought gold, which was a gift significant for a king. They brought frankincense, was a gift, which was a gift that you would typically give to a priest. And they brought myrrh. And myrrh was a gift that you brought to the dead. It was a gift you brought to help in the, not embalming, but in the process of taking care of the body. The gifts that they gave were appropriate because they gave the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and they acknowledged him as king, as priest, and as one that was born to die for our sins. We ought to give appropriate gifts this Christmas season as well. And it's not just about this season. We ought to give these gifts all the time. So don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about material gifts. I'm talking about the more important things in life, the more important gifts that we can give. We ought to give the gift of love. We ought to give the gift of kindness to our friends and to our family. We ought to give the gift of our help to those who are hurting around us. We ought to give the gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us in the past. Giving these kind of gifts will result in satisfaction, and they will result in a meaningful Christmas. I want to end with this story. And I've read it to you, but it's been a number of years, but I just love how it so puts it. Are you satisfied this holiday season? And I ask you, you know, what is it that you're willing to give? Ruth one day went out to her mailbox, and she found a letter. It had no stamp, had no postmark, just her name and her address. And this is what the letter said. It said, "Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday afternoon. I'd like to stop by for a visit. Love always, Jesus." Well, her hands were shaking as she placed them on the letter, placed the letter on the table, and she said, "Why would the Lord want to visit me?" And she didn't know what to think, what to do. "I'm nobody special," she said. I don't have anything to offer." And with that thought, Ruth remembered her empty kitchen cabinets. She said, "Jesus is coming to my house, and I've got nothing in the cabinets. I've got nothing to serve. I've got nothing to give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to have to run down to the store, and I'm going to have to buy some dinner. So she reached for her purse, counted out the contents, got all the coins together, $5.40. That's all she had, $5.40. So when she got that money together, she quickly went to the store. It was cold out. She said, "Well, at least I can buy some bread, some cold cuts at least." And after buying these things at the store, she was heading back home, and as she started to walk home quickly because it was just brisk outside, somebody spoke out to her from an alley. Hey, lady, can you help us out?" Ruth had been so absorbed in her dinner plans that she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the alleyway there. It was a man and a woman. Both of them were dressed in little more than rags. "Look, lady," he said, I ain't got a job, you know. My wife and I, we've been living out here in the streets, and it's starting to get pretty cold out here. We're getting hungry. If you could help us out, man, we would really appreciate it." Ruth looked at both of them. They were dirty, smelled kind of bad. She said, "Sir, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself. All I have is some meat and some bread. And I'm having an important guest for dinner tonight, and I was planning on serving it to him." And the man said, "Yeah, well, that's okay, lady. I understand. Thanks anyway." And the man put his arm around his wife and headed back down the alley. And as Ruth watched them walk away, and as they left, she felt that familiar twinge, you know, just on the inside of her heart. She said, "Sir, wait." And the couple stopped, and they turned, and she ran down the alley to them and said, "Look, Why don't you just take this food? I'll figure something out. Go ahead. I want you to have it." And she handed the man her groceries. "Oh, thank you, lady," the man replied. "Thank you," said the wife, and they were shivering in the cold, and Ruth thought to herself and replied, "You know what?" She said, "I've got another coat at home. Here, why don't you take this one?" And she unbuttoned her coat. She wrapped it around the arms of the lady who was shivering and slipped it onto the woman's shoulders. And then smiling, she turned and walked back to the street. Without her coat, without any food to serve her guest, both of them cried out and said, "Thank you, lady." They walked away. Ruth was chilled by the time she got home. And when she walked in the front door, she worried too. She's like, "Oh man, the Lord's coming to visit. I don't have anything to offer him." And she was fumbling through her purse for the key to the door. But then something caught her eye. She looked back at the mailbox, and the mailbox flag was up. And she thought, well, that's strange. The mailman doesn't come twice in a day. But yet somebody had left something in her mailbox. So she went out, and she saw a letter there. And she opened it up, and it said, "Dear Ruth, it was good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal, and thank you for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus." You never know, just by simply an act of kindness, a word of encouragement, what it can do. You never know exactly who you're serving, because the Bible tells us very plainly, when you do it to the least of one of these, you first and foremost do it unto me. So I ask you again, are you satisfied? And if you're not, if maybe the Lord, that twinge that I talked about, you said, you know what? I can give more. I can do more. I can work at being more patient and kind. I can work at looking for places to encourage one another. Then simply follow that path, because you never know who it is that may cross your path. Are you satisfied with Christmas? Well, as we celebrate this Christmas, let me ask, what are you willing to give them? Your time, your talent, your attention, maybe even your heart. It's the greatest gift of all. Here's what I'm going to do. I want to pray in just a moment. And I want to pray that we can have an understanding of the greatest gift of all, which is salvation. But maybe you're saying, Pastor, I'm good. Are you? Is there something more that God wants to use you for? You'll never know until you ask Him. And if you'll come into His presence, you'll find He's got many more gifts for you to unpackage. Are you satisfied? Ushers, you can start to come forward as I pray and just ask that tonight, Jesus, we come into Your presence and we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Lord, we don't know exactly maybe what day it is that it happened, but it's not about the date. It's about the man that came in flesh, came in human form to be one of us so that You could pave the way for us to experience salvation. So Father God, we come today and we open up our hearts and say, Lord, have Your way. Lord, I pray today that whatever area of darkness we are experiencing in our life, and Lord, as we prepare to light these candles, and Lord, it's going to be representative of that dark place. We want Your light to shine in that way, in such a way that we hear You differently, we see You differently, and then we take that light and we pass it on to others. So Lord, would You grant us the ability to become humble in Your presence, to hear what You have to say and then do something with it. We ask in Jesus' name. I want to ask this evening that as we start to light the candles, will you stand with me? We're going to sing, and as we worship the Lord, the ushers are going to come down the aisle, and they're going to start to light your candle, and we're going to sing together and worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I want you to be willing to give God whatever that dark place is, so that you can experience the greatest gift of all, in Jesus' name. Michael?
Silent night, holy night. Tonight we say happy birthday and we celebrate you. We ask that you would show us, each and every one of us, what it means to be a light to those around us. Show us what we can give to this world. And may it be done out of a heart of love. Love for you and love for your people. For those created in your image. We receive you, the most treasured gift tonight, and we thank you. And it is in your holy name we pray and that we celebrate tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, let's do this together. Here's how we do it. Put your hand in front of your candle so you don't blow wax on the person in front of you, and we'll blow it out on three. One, two, three.
We may
have blown out a candle, but there's a new light that's been lit in your heart. We just want to say Merry Christmas to you and to your family in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great Merry Christmas.